Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
But tonight we're speaking to you about another kind of favor, a word favor that happens to mean, it happens to denote mercy, it happens to denote benevolence, it happens to denote kindness, and this is the word hain. Say it with me, hain. We see the word hain is developed from the Hebrew word hanun, which means to be gracious, to be kind, to be benevolent, to be merciful. So when we are thinking of divine favor and the context of favor, first of all, we need to see that favor is not just something that just automatically comes, because there's no such thing as favorites. There's a difference between walking in favor and favorites. There's no favorites with God. The Bible is very clear that there is no respecter of persons. Are you hearing me, saints? So we understand, beloved saints, that the Bible is telling us that if we look at favor, we will see that divine favor is given throughout the scripture. First of all, the Bible is going to show us who the candidates of favor are. And in order to become a candidate for favor, you have to be able to fall into certain categories that God blesses favor with. Those are candidates for favor. Say it with me, candidates of favor. But recipients of favor are not the same as the candidates. There are individuals that were destined for favor. They are the candidates. But the recipients are those who qualify. Are you following me? So I want to really explain this to you. Candidates for favor, say it with me, candidates for favor and recipients of favor, two different things. Those who receive favor, hallelujah, are not all the candidates. The candidates are those God ordained favor for. The candidates are those that were chosen before the foundation of the world to have favor. Let me explain to you. You would be surprised if you knew who the candidates were. For example, orphans are candidates for favor. Those who are the fatherless are candidates for favor. Those who have no father at all, not just orphans, those who were raised without a father are candidates for favor. I hope somebody's hearing this. Those who have gone through hardship, those who have suffered injustice, these are all the candidates for favor. But the recipients of favor are those who pass the test. Those who have gone through all the tests to receive favor, because I want you to understand something. Favor is what we need to get to the highest reach of our destiny. We cannot get to the furthest reach of our destiny without favor. Are you following me, saints? So this is why it is so important that we find out what are the secrets of favor. How do I move out of being a candidate for favor and move into being a recipient of favor? Are you with me? If you are, say amen. I'm going to give you one example from the scripture, and there are so many of those who were candidates for favor, and they went from being a candidate to favor to actually becoming recipients of favor. We all know, dear child of God, if we look at the scripture, we see that a candidate, let me just explain it in case we are a little confused. A candidate is someone who is qualified for an award or a position. So there's someone who is a qualified individual that is going to receive an award or walk into a certain position. A candidate is someone who is officially positioned and considered for that particular award, office, or position that God is going to give them. And it all depends, of course, on their station, their responsibility in life. So we need to understand that. And we also need to understand that a person that is a candidate has certain accomplishments in their lives that qualify the person for that candidacy. Are you following me? If you are, say amen. And so we need to understand that a candidate is a person that is in need of mercy. That is a candidate for divine favor, someone who needs God's mercy. So I don't know about you, but it seems that everyone here qualifies to be a candidate, because if you need mercy, you are a candidate for divine favor. If you need kindness extended to you, you are a candidate qualified for God's favor. Are you following me? If you are in need of somebody who is able to vindicate you, you are a candidate, qualified candidate to be a recipient of favor. Are you hearing me? So it definitely is revolving around the fact that you are in need of mercy, or you need God to move in your behalf in some way, that there is some type of injustice that may have come against your life, some type of heartache, some type of act of mercy where you need God to lift you up, where you need God to help you, where you cannot help yourself. If you are someone that says, I cannot help myself, I need God to move on my behalf. If you are someone that has gone through heartache or sorrow, or someone who has been judged in a wrong way or falsely accused, you are a candidate for divine favor. And somebody ought to give God the praise, because every one of us here are candidates for mercy. We're candidates for God's kindness. We're candidates for a potential destiny that God has ordained for our lives. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody should give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. So we understand, beloved saints, that the DNA profile, spiritual DNA profile, of those who are going to move from being a candidate to a recipient is non-negotiable. There are certain qualifications for exaltation into destiny that God requires in the Word of God. And we're all candidates. That means if you are a single mother and you have gone through suffering in your life and you are being raised with the burden of raising children alone, did you know you are a candidate for divine favor? If you are an orphan, your parents are dead or they passed away, and you are alone and had to raise yourself in this world. Maybe your parents are still alive, but maybe you never knew them. All right, you are a candidate for divine favor. Are you hearing me? If you have been through something in your life, some sorrow, some secret sorrow, something has happened in your life that is unjust, not right, you are a candidate for divine favor. Are you hearing this, saints of God? God wants to pour his favor upon you. And so we are seeing these candidates, and we're also seeing that the DNA profile, spiritual profile, is non-negotiable. So we are understanding this. Hallelujah. There are a series of individuals, as you know, in the Bible that were candidates for divine favor, but tonight I'm just going to speak about one group of individuals that were candidates for divine favor, in need of favor, that they were in need of mercy, they were in need of justice, they were in need of vindication, and so therefore they became candidates for divine favor. And the premise of Hain, or that gift of benevolence that God is giving, because we must understand the group I'm going to show you is the children of Israel. And the reason they were candidates for Hain is because God, first of all, loved their forefathers. And their forefathers passed a series of tests, and their forefathers so obeyed God that God now is going to give the children of Israel the favor based on the merits of the forefathers. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, we see this word Hain being used. And as a matter of fact, the first person in the Bible that ever received Hain, that ever received favor, was Noah. He needed mercy, didn't he? Because God was about to destroy the whole earth. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, I want that Hain in my life. I want that favor in my life that's going to take me out of my personal pain into a place of great favor. Hallelujah. Looking at Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, and I will cause this people to have favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Of all people, God was going to give the children of Israel Hain, favor, mercy, benevolence in the sight of the Egyptians. Do you know why? Because the Egyptians subjugated them. The Egyptians were the ones who held them in slavery for 400 years. Are you hearing me? Child of God. They needed justice, didn't they? They needed to be vindicated, didn't they? They needed to be redeemed, didn't they? They needed mercy, didn't they, beloved saints? Hallelujah. Glory to God. They were candidates for divine favor. Put your hand up right now and say, Lord, I can relate to the children of Israel. I'm asking you tonight for that kind of favor in my life. Hallelujah. I'm in need of vindication. I'm in need of liberation. Are you following me, saints? Do you understand what the Lord is saying to us tonight? Hallelujah. Somebody should give God the praise. The Bible says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, I want you to understand something. The children of Israel were subjugated on three different levels. Number one, they were subjugated by Pharaoh. This is told to us in the slavery narrative of Exodus chapter 1. The Bible tells us that Pharaoh said to his people, come now, let us deal wisely with them, lest, if we go to Exodus 1 verse 10, let's look at this, because we will see the three strats of society, three areas of society that actually subjugated the children of Israel. Looking in Exodus chapter 1, this is not part of my notes, so I'm going to just read it for you very quickly. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and the Bible says, and it come to pass, when there falleth out any war, that they join with our enemies and fight against us and get them up out of the land. That seems like, you know, it seems like Pharaoh is just speaking to his people to beware of the children of Israel because they could fight against us and get out of the land. But that's not exactly what he was doing. I want you to understand, he was using propaganda to turn the nation of Egypt against the children of Israel so he could progressively begin programmatic genocide to end their lives. So he begins with propaganda and he begins telling the nation something about them that is not true. He says, let us deal wisely with them. So now they appear as a threat to national security. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, which they are doing miraculously. The children of Israel were multiplied in the land of Egypt. Lest they multiply and it come to pass, when there falls out any war, they're going to join with our enemies. There's no sign at all that the children of Israel were ever in cahoots or ever even thought that they were going to get themselves up out of the land. Are you hearing this? But this is propaganda that Pharaoh is putting on the whole nation so that he can begin to inculcate his plan to bring the children of Israel into subjugation. Are you hearing this? And it says, and join with our enemies and fight against us and get them up out of the land. So he has made the children of Israel be presented in the eyes of the Egyptians as a national threat, as some group of individuals that are going to overthrow Pharaoh and overthrow. And because there's so many, they are now in a place of very dangerous. They're in a very dangerous place because they're supernaturally multiplying. There are thousands and thousands of them. And if they join together, we could be taken over. Are you hearing this? All right. It's so important that we understand that, because enemies of Israel are still doing the same thing today. Let us continue. And we see, dear people of God, the Bible says in verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And the Bible says, and they built for treasure cities for Pharaoh, Pitom, and Ramses. So the second group of individuals that subjugated the children of Israel, first was Pharaoh, second was the taskmasters. The taskmasters here in Hebrew, they're called the Sarim. They were princes, and they dealt with the children of Israel very harshly. They were enforcers of the law, and they forced the children of Israel to build cities for Pharaoh, Pitom, and Ramses. That means you're now being subjugated into forced labor, and you cannot enjoy the work of your hands. The Bible is showing us all the qualifications for favor. Hello, somebody. I said God is showing us in his word those that have been under subjugation, those who are in need of liberation, those who have been lied about, those who have gone through hardships in their lives and have been under a taskmaster of some sort. You are the candidates for divine favor. Are you hearing this tonight? And the Bible also says the next group of individuals, because Pharaoh succeeded in his plan. The Bible tells us in verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Notice it doesn't say Pharaoh made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. It doesn't say the taskmasters, because the taskmasters were the enforcers. The Egyptians themselves, the citizens, the people who lived under Pharaoh's rule. The Bible says the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. This word rigor doesn't mean with elbow grease. It's the word perek in Hebrew, which means candidate for divine favor. Come on, if you're a candidate for divine favor, if I were you, I would claim the anointing of favor and the fullness of favor over your life to reach your highest destiny, to go to the place and reach the summit supernaturally that God has ordained in your life. If you're with me, say amen, saints. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so we see, beloved saints, the Egyptians so mistreated the children of Israel that even when the two bravest women in the book of Exodus, the two bravest women are Puah and Shifra, also known as Jochebed and Miriam. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And Miriam is the sister of Moses. They were forced, but they didn't do what they were forced to do. They were told by the king of Egypt. Notice what he told them. The Bible says, verse 15, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. These are not Egyptians. To the Hebrew midwives, which one was the name of Shifra and the other was Puah. These both are names, many in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus in Hebrew is the word shmot. And shmot means names. It's different than Exodus. It's shmot. Say it with me. Shmot in Hebrew. Okay, so shmot means names. So this means in the book of Exodus, names are extremely important. And some people go by many names. Some people don't have the same names. And And so we are seeing here that Pua and Shifra are also Jochebed and Miriam. How do we know this? Well, first of all, we know this from the Midrash, but we also know this contextually. Because right before the Bible teaches us about Moses' family, the Bible is and qualifies Moses to be the deliverer, to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. We need to know that the Bible is first going to give us some background on his mother and his sister. And the reason the Bible is going to do this is because the Bible is going to show us why God awarded Jochebed with a son who is the deliverer. Are you following me? She was a candidate for favor, but became a recipient of that favor because she walked in the ways of God and because she became courageous enough to defy the decree to murder Hebrew children. Are you following me? Turn to your neighbor and say, favor isn't as free as you think. Okay? I want you to know it comes by grace, but God gives us the grace to fulfill the spiritual requirements of favor. We're all candidates, but to become a recipient is something that God is going to show us. We have to have the certain character traits that God uses. There are character traits that God uses and character traits that God refuses. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't mess up your miracle. Don't mess up the favor God has ordained over your life. Come on. Don't mess it up. Touch your neighbor and say, do yourself a favor right now. I'm here to preach to you for 2 minutes. I'm here to tell you, don't mess up your miracle by being selfish. Don't mess up your miracle by compromising your faith. Don't mess up your miracle, child of God. Hallelujah. Somebody should give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. I would not do the word of God justice if we did not look at the bravery and the courage of Shifra and Pua. Let's do that for a moment. The Bible is showing us, because we're looking at what qualified them and how they were translated from being a candidate to being a recipient. Hallelujah. The Bible is showing us in verse 16, the Bible says, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew children and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, you will kill him. But if it be a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt commanded. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you daring enough for destiny? Come on. Are you daring enough for destiny? Are you willing, hallelujah, to do what God has asked you to do? You see, every one of us here have the ability to come into great favor with God because we're already candidates. The favor's already been paid that we would receive. All we have to do is access the grace to walk in what is required by God for that favor. Are you hearing me? Oh, somebody ought to praise God. And we're seeing Pua and Shifra. Now, can you imagine Hebrew slaves not obeying Pharaoh? Can you imagine? Pharaoh went right to them. He did not send emissaries because he wanted to intimidate them by his position. So he didn't send emissaries. He didn't send his number one hitman or whatever. He didn't send his captain. He went himself. He summons them and said, when you do the office of a midwife and you see those Hebrew children or you see the wife ready to give birth and you know that it's a man-child, you know it's a male, you got to kill it. Murder it. And normally, a person that did not fear God, but feared the king more than God, would just agree and just say, well, I'm forced to do this because Pharaoh told me if I didn't do it, I'm going to die. And so God is looking for integrity. God is looking for those that will trust him enough to do the right thing. Put your hands up right now. God is going to trust me enough to do the right thing. And say this with me. I will be tested. And I will be tested to see if I'm going to come out of being a candidate for favor into being a recipient of favor. Put your hands up and say, I don't plan on being double-minded in my faith. I planned on standing for righteousness and truth. I plan on doing the right thing before God in all my decisions. Are you with me, saints? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so they did the right decision. And guess what? Pharaoh didn't know what to say to them. He couldn't touch them. Say, favor overtook them. Favor overtook them when they stood before Pharaoh. Notice, the word got out. Notice, the Bible says, hallelujah. And they did not do what the king of Egypt commanded, but they saved the men children alive. Verse 18. And the king of Egypt called the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing? And why have you saved the men children alive? Normally, they wouldn't even be called. They would have been murdered right there. He would have sent taskmasters immediately to cause these women, these two, to just be wiped out. Have you ever heard of Pharaoh negotiating with a slave? Is it ever recorded anywhere in the Bible that Pharaoh would negotiate with a slave when he gave a slave personally his word and told them what he wanted done? But yet we see that when we move from being a candidate into being a recipient, God will shift a system just for you. I said, God will shift a system just for you. Do I have anybody here that is a system shifter? Hallelujah. Put your hands up right now and say, God's about to shift the system just for me. Come on. God is about to shift the system just for me. Somebody ought to praise God. I'm going to say it one more time. I said, God is about to shift the system for your favor. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, the favor on my life has the potential of shifting a system. Say this with me. God can create a place for me outside the system. Say it with me. Outside the system. Come on, outside the system. Oh, glory to God, outside the system. God can give you a place. Oh, glory to God, you've got dominion over the system when you follow God. Somebody could say, I could never get there. I don't qualify. Somebody could say that I don't get there. I'm a woman. Somebody could say that I can't get there. I'm a man. Somebody could say I can't get there. I don't have the education. Somebody could say, I can't get there because I don't have the finances. Someone else can say, I can't get there. I don't have the education. I've got a word for you. If favor is on your life, dear child of God, and you pass out of being a candidate for favor and move into being a recipient of favor through your choices. Are you with me? Through your choices. Say it with me. Through my choices. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch. Just watch. Oh, God is so good. The Bible says, as we look at this, the Bible says, because this is what the women said. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. God just put the words in their mouth to know exactly. They were humbling themselves, saying, you all are made different than we are. You all are made much better. Okay, they were using wisdom, even though that's not true. And the Bible says, for they are lively. An heir, and they are delivered. An heir, when the midwives come, the child is already delivered. All right, but look at verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, verse 21, because the midwives feared God. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're going to walk in favor, you must have the fear of God. So that's the sign right there. If we don't fear God, we have no fear at all. We just think we can just do whatever we want. Don't expect, if you are reinventing the wheel, so to speak, and you want to do your own thing but not what's written in the Word, do not expect for favor to fall on your life. But if you are willing to do what God has written in His Word, and you are willing to stand up for righteousness, hallelujah, get ready to be translated from being a candidate into being, hallelujah, a recipient of divine favor. Now watch this. This is where we're going. The Bible says, continuing in the context, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, God built them houses. This is the context. Houses doesn't just mean places to live. Houses meant a line. Houses meant, for example, in Hebrew, you can say the house of David. That doesn't just mean David's place where he lives. It means his descendants. If you say the house of Ahab, it doesn't just mean Ahab where he lives. It meant his whole line and his lineage. So the Lord built them houses. The Bible wants us to know that it's Jochebed, and God is building her a line of descendants that are going to be so blessed. Are you hearing this? And also Miriam. And the Bible says, verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, that means the Egyptians, saying, every son that is born you will cast into the river, and every daughter you will save alive. This is when the subjugation came to a point that was a breaking point. This is when the Egyptian bondage and slavery came to a place, dear child of God, that the children of Israel couldn't bear it anymore. It's far beyond just being subjugated in hard labor. It's now the Egyptians have permission to come into our home and to take our babies and to cast them into the river. And so this is going on, not one, not two, not three. This is going on by the hundreds of babies that are born. It's the Egyptians that are going into the house of the Hebrews, taking their babies from the mothers, taking the babies. There's nothing but terror. And this is why, when the plague of the frogs came, they came up out of the Nile. Notice there are two plagues that came up out of the Nile. The first plague was the water turning to blood. The second plague was the frogs coming up out of the Nile. The water turning to blood is because there was blood in that Nile. Are you following me? The blood of Hebrew children was already in the Nile. And so why did God command Moses to strike the water with the rod and the water turned to blood? It is because God was extracting, beloved saints, forgiveness. He wanted to forgive them. He was extracting repentance from the Egyptians so that they would see their sin and repent. In the end times, before Jesus returns, there's going to be signs in the heavens that are going to make man repent for seeing what they did. And that's exactly, these signs were not just strike them, like God is just vindicating and God's just wiping out people who really don't have any conscience or any set of rules. Their conscience, God says in the book of Romans that every man is given a conscience within himself. And so mankind is going to be judged by the conscience that God gave them. Everyone is given a gift of revelation to know the difference between right and wrong. Every person has natural revelation. That's a doctrine in the scripture, that God reveals himself through natural revelation, that someone who has never heard of God can actually know there is a God. That's why it's so important for us to evangelize and bring souls to Christ. Are you with me? And so, in this case, the waters turned to blood, but the frogs were an unbelievable call to the Egyptians for what they did. Frogs, when they came up by the thousands out of the river, they came into the houses, they came everywhere, into the bedchambers, the Bible says, everywhere. But these frogs were screeching frogs. And I don't know if you've ever heard a screeching frog. When you go home, you can, on the internet, on YouTube, just YouTube screeching frog. A screeching frog sounds exactly like a human scream. It sounds exactly, you cannot tell the difference between a human scream and a screeching frog. It sounds like a human being that's in terror. So up out of the river came frogs sounding like the children of Israel when they were taking the babies and throwing them into the river. Are you hearing this? Why is that so spiritually significant? Because it was these very Egyptians that took their babies. It was these very Egyptians that God said, he said it in Exodus 3:21. He said it in Exodus 11:3. He said it in Exodus 12:36, that this people will find favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Now notice what's going to happen when they find favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. God is going to cause divine compensation for all their devastation. And it's the Egyptians that are going to compensate them from favor that has come on the children of Israel. Are you following me? Say this with me. I've been destined for favor. Come on, I've been destined for favor. God has called me to favor. Hallelujah. It's my destiny to receive favor. I don't want to mess up my miracle. I want to walk in divine favor. Somebody ought to praise God. Notice, going back to Exodus 3:21 very quickly, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass when you go out. You're not going out empty. What they were going to do, the favor was going to cause them to do, was they were going to go to borrow of the Egyptians, every man and every woman, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Egyptians were going to surrender all of their wealth to the children of Israel before they left Egypt. That's favor. Put your hands up. It wasn't because of any threat. It was because of favor, that when they looked on them, they had favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, the very ones that murdered their children, the very ones that ruled over them and subjugated them in the field. God gave them favor. They moved out of being a candidate for favor into being recipients of favor. Somebody ought to praise God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. Oh, karabashandarabashiria. Tonight, before we pray for you, I want you to understand the person in the Bible that is shown to have the most favor of anyone. The person in the Bible where favor is used in the context of their life. More than Joseph, more than Daniel, more than David, more than anyone is Esther. And the Bible tells us, beloved saints, that Esther is the person that the word favor is used more times. We see direct connect to favor without even inferring the favor. The word hain is used in Esther 2:15. The word hain is used in Esther 2:17. The word hain is used in Esther 5:2. The word hain is used in Esther 5:8. The word hain is used in Esther 7:3. And the word hain is used in Esther 8:5. So those of us who want to know what was the secret of Esther's favor, how many of you want to know how did Esther move from being a candidate to being a recipient of favor? She's an automatic candidate, okay? What makes her a candidate? Number one, she's a captive. I said, number one, she's a captive. She's brought against her will to the land with all of her people are captives. They're all brought out of Jerusalem. They're all brought out of the land of Israel. And they're all brought in the Babylonian captivity. They're captives. Say this with me. If you're a captive or were a captive. I don't know. You know what a captive is? A captive is somebody who is in bondage. I said somebody who was in bondage but is no longer in bondage. Are you a captive? Did you have a bondage before you knew Christ? Is there a bondage in your family? Is there a bondage right now that you say, God, I need deliverance from a bondage? It may be a hurt that you have. It may be a bondage that has held you back, a spirit of rejection or some personal pain that you are going through. You are a candidate. Did you hear me? I said you are a candidate for favor. Somebody should praise the Lord. The Bible teaches us, hallelujah, that throughout the scripture, the text teaches us that the fullness of favor, as you know, is the furthest reach of our highest destiny. And the Bible is going to show us the essential element that is necessary for favor. In the book of Esther, in the second chapter, begins a summarization and a characterization of Esther's character traits. This is a resume of royalty, beloved saints, that is uniquely profiled in the second chapter of Esther that shows us the ability, something about Esther that's going to qualify her. And first of all, I want you to know that the personality profile that is assessed in the book of Esther in the second chapter is a personal profile of us understanding that in the experience of great exaltation, Esther is tempered with an unusual self-subordination. What do I mean by that? I said, by the unusual character trait. This is very unusual. How many people have you ever met or ever seen that had an unusual amount of lauding, an unusual amount of praise, an unusual amount of doors opened for them, an unusual amount of having certain privileges and having certain things happen in their lives where they would be unusually lifted up to an unusual level of exaltation? This is what the Bible is going to know. How many people do you actually know that have gone through, that unusual exaltation? It's just my balance. We're going to get healed of this. That's why I'm preaching. I'm defying the devil. He's a liar. He can't do this to my back, okay? Sorry about that, saints. I'm still going to walk, and I'm still going to do it. The devil is a liar. He's not stopping me, okay? Sorry, I almost fell. But God is good. Come on, give God the praise. He's not doing this. So we need to understand, saints of God. We need to understand, Holy Spirit, just have your way. We need to understand that this great exaltation is tempered with unusual self-subordination. Have you ever met somebody that went up so high, but they corrected themselves continually not to allow themselves to become puffed up? Not to allow themselves to think of themselves more highly than they ought, and actually exercised certain disciplines of destiny to keep them in that humble place. Are you hearing me? I said to keep them in that humble place. And somebody ought to say hallelujah. So when I am speaking to you about this unusual personality profile that is given to Esther, she is given this great exaltation. And every time we see Esther in a place of exaltation or elevation where the king is exalting her or the people are exalting her, or even when she first came to the house of the women, Haggai was exalting her, we see this unusual, remarkable character trait that shows us she's going to temper that possibility of becoming prideful with self-subordination. Are you hearing me? She brings herself down to a place of great humility on her own. This is called disciplines of destiny. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, if you are preparing me for greatness, teach me now how to stay humble. Come on, teach me now how to stay humble. Because the greatest downfall to destiny is going to be pride. I said the greatest downfall to destiny is going to be pride. And so Esther shows us something. She shows us something about equanimity. She shows us something about self-subordination. That she remains, and the scripture is going to tell us, she remains Hadassah. She doesn't change. She's Hadassah in her heart to Mordecai all of the days while she's in the palace. This means that she stayed humble throughout her entire opportunity to become prideful. This means, because I want you to know, pride is such a vanity. There's all different kinds of vanities. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. There's all kinds of vanities. There's the vanity of always needing to be right. There's the vanity of needing to be recognized. There's the vanity of never being wrong. There's the vanity of selfishness, thinking we deserve it. Vanities of entitlement. That's a vanity. I'm entitled to this. I worked for this. Or you don't know who I am. I'm Esther. How dare you, Mordecai, tell me what to do? And he didn't tell her what to do little. He told her what to do big. He didn't give her a little bit of tohaha. He gave her a strong tohaha. I don't know if any of us could have taken it. We would have probably folded our arms and huffed off. Said, how dare him? Who does he think he is? He's talking to the queen of Persia. But not Esther. She remained Hadassah. As humble, as yielded, as obedient. Bible says that Esther was as obedient to Mordecai. She did the commandment of Mordecai. A commandment is not the same thing as just being obedient. A commandment is something somebody's charging you to do. She did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up by him. The Bible wants us to know that, because that's how she passed from being a candidate for such unbelievable favor into a recipient and a possessor of favor. And this is what God has for us tonight. Over here are love letters.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.